You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. And he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Michael K. is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Michael, Don, Peter, with you until 6:30. It's so weird. You think about how slow things get after the Super Bowl, and now you just can't get enough. You don't have enough time.
I always thought that was overrated, though. Those are anti-hockey people. And anti-basketball. Well, there's nothing going on after the Super Bowl. Well, no, the Knicks were playing tremendous basketball. Weren't they like 15-1 at one point?
That's right.
Predominantly after the Super Bowl?
Went on a hell of a run.
All right?
No, January they were 15-1.
All right, so that was...
Before the Super Bowl.
But even after the Super Bowl, you tell me the Knicks weren't a thing in this town? The Rangers aren't a thing in this town? Stop yourself. That's such an old, convoluted sports radio, Mike and Chris, I got nothing else to say stuff. We've well beyond that now. We're in a new world now. We're in a world where things are going on all the time.
It's so true.
We're changing the landscape, Michael. We're changing the way people think about sports.
You mean
there's nothing going on in February? What are we going to do after the Super Bowl? But we're not going to be this till pitchers and catchers. There's not going to be anything to talk about.
Well, guess what? We're good at what we do.
Well, that's true, but when you consider that, if every single sport is in action, then you're kind of like overwhelmed with the stuff. If it's just basketball and hockey, you know, they don't usually play on the same day, so that would be one game to talk about.
Very, very pedestrian opinion, Michael.
Wow.
When you consider the fact
how dare you?
The hot stove in football, Peter, smoking hot.
Oh, it is.
A lot of stuff going on.
Piping hot.
I disagree, Michael. I think we just got to get out of our old, convoluted way of looking at things, man. It's a brave new world.
Oh, yeah.
Women's 10 million people are watching women's basketball.
And Tom was locked in.
We've got a lot going on, man.
Not to mention, we
got the Yankees can't lose. Mets can't win.
Not to mention, I was at Raw and I got to see the final boss. You kidding me? The Rock.
Did you interact?
That is a man. No, I went backstage and I ended up in one of those situations. You guys are around celebs sometimes. You know those situations when you're trying to just go do something and you accidentally walk up like on the massive celebrity and there's bottlenecking because they're so I mean, when the final boss, The Rock.
What are these sounds? What is that?
It's a computer doing weird things on the air.
Wow.
I don't care.
I don't know.
My computer's turned down. I don't care for it either, Michael.
I don't know. We're going to figure it out. But I went to go get something to eat. And then, oh my gosh, standing right in front of me, Don, a back as big as I've ever seen in my life in a silk Versace shirt. It's the final boss.
Say that again.
It's the final boss.
No.
A silk Versace shirt.
Who's the final boss? I mean, maybe I'm ignorant. Who is that?
That's The Rock's new nickname. That's the bad guy, Rock.
I didn't know that. I feel good that I'm with Mike.
No, it's brand new. It's a month old. I'm overdoing it for the sake of overdoing it. I love it, so I'm just only referring to him as the final boss. But he's standing right there, and I just wanted to get to catering. But now, not only are there people filming the final boss, there are people filming the people filming the final boss. I mean, there's so many layers of people filming this man. So there's a lot going on in the world.
The final boss?
Yeah, the final...
It's too close to Winklevoss from Social... What was that movie?
Social Network.
Yeah, it's no. I don't care for it. Tell him to stop.
So you want me to tell The Rock?
Yes.
No, because it sounds too much like Winklevoss from...
wait a second. The Rock's sitcom was The Little Rock, right?
Young Rock.
Young Rock. So what would this be? Young Final Boss?
So, by the way, the whole terminology came from, it's slang people use referring to video games. Like how at the end of a video game, you play the final boss. So, like, you can use this. They'll use this sort of analogy in sports, too. Like, you know, like, if it was Golden State a few years ago, like, you got to get past Steph Curry. It's the final boss. You know what I mean? So, it's kind of like slang that he's made his thing. But I did not interact with him. But I will tell you, Michael, that is a large, large, imposing individual.
Well, the final boss yesterday in the NCAA was Caitlin Clark.
Oh, she is a final boss, by the way.
Well, how many threes? Nine?
Just nine.
She dropped
9
41
of 20.
Points.
Scored 41. How many assists you have? I think was it 14?
I'll tell you one thing. When you watch the game, and you can see why the women's game is getting a bit more popular, a lot more popular, because it's closer to the game of basketball a lot of people grew up with.
That's a good
it
point.
Just is. I mean, her court vision, the way she finds her teammates, a precision passing. I mean, she does shoot a lot, and she should, but the woman's game is closer to the old men's game.
You know what
men's game is not as entertaining as it used to be.
Well, it's funny. The men's professional game, to me, is not particularly an entertaining brand of basketball. And then the men's college game is almost too collegey. Like, I find that these days. Like, so, do you guys ever find, when you throw on tournament games, watching a men's college offense, even on the best teams, the way that they play college basketball off, it can be a little boring for me. This is sort of the blend, Michael, to your point. This sort of feels like 90s basketball. Like, they're still playing more of a professional game where she gets to run and gun, but it's not today's current NBA product either. It's a lot of fun. And she
it is a lot of fun. So Iowa wins, UConn wins, and
you hate to see Kim Mulkey go. You hate to see it.
We don't give enough love at all to UConn, the school. I mean, if you've ever been to stores, there's not much going on there. They have two teams in the Final Four. The men's team is going to win the national title. I don't know if UConn could beat Iowa, but if anybody could come up with something that could maybe slow down Caitlin Clark, it's Gino Auriemma. Mm-hmm. They have a great player in Paige Buckers, too, so it's great. It's great, but UConn's not a huge school.
That's a fun storyline, by the way. Everyone's sleeping on UConn, on the winningest coach in the history of the game. That's a fun little storyline.
But interesting, yeah, because it's not your traditional, you know, blue blood the way you think about it. But when you think also of, like, dominant schools, like, what was Penn State before Joe Paterno got there, right? What's Penn State? What was Syracuse before Boeheim got there? Like, so you get the right coach, you get the right combination, you start to win, it becomes an attractive place to go play. So I think the coaches built up stores, and what Hurley's now been able to continue to do has just added to that tradition. So I guess if you got the right coach, you start winning, Michael, you can be anywhere in the country.
All right,
doesn't
so
have to be Kentucky.
We're going to talk to Ryan Rucco, who had the call yesterday. We're waiting on the ratings for the game. Ryan will talk to us at 4 o'clock about the whole scene, what it was like in Albany. And Don mentioned this earlier. Yankees are 5-0. So if they lose tonight and they lose tomorrow afternoon, their opening road trip before they come home on Friday for opening day at the home opener would be 5-2, which would be phenomenal. If they happen to split these two games, 6-1, which would be unbelievable. And it's not against some, you know, bad teams. I mean, you've got the Houston Astros, who've been to 7 straight American League Championship Series. You've got the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Kidding me?
Who are the defending National League champions. And the Yankees have beat them all pretty, I wouldn't say soundly, but convincingly, 5-0. Now, the Mets, on the other hand, Milwaukee's not a great team. They got swept by Milwaukee.
Well, I mean, Detroit, they were a playoff team.
Yeah, but
and they
you know,
own
they
the
lost.
Mets.
They traded their best pitcher.
Right.
They lost their manager. So, I mean, you wouldn't look at Milwaukee as a favorite to win the National League Central. I mean, most people looking at the Cubs is that. And then Detroit's a team on the come, but still not a great team. And they end up winning 5-0 in extra innings, so the Mets are 0-4. So my question to you, Don, what's more impactful, what's more significant, the Yankees 5-0 or the Mets 0-4? Now, remember, not much is expected of the Mets this year. A lot of people expect things out of the Yankees, although Baseball Reference had them finishing with like 79 wins. So what do you think?
It's the Yankees because of the 4 games against the Astros. 5-0. Listen, the Pirates are 5-0, right? So, I mean, things can change on a dime. It's a good week. Anybody's entitled to a good week. When it's the first week, it's all that you really have to bank it on. But for four of those games to be against a team like the Astros, the hated Astros, I think that makes it more impactful. Now, can the Mets get up from this? The last time they started this poorly was back in 05 when they lost their first five games, and they were 83-win team that year. So you can get up from this. The problem is that the Mets aren't hitting, and I thought the hitting would be something that might carry them while they were trying to figure out their pitching. It's actually been the reverse. But because it's the Astros, I think it makes it slightly more impactful. How about you?
I didn't think the Mets were going to make the playoffs, Don. I didn't. So to me, 0-4 is not impactful. I didn't think they'd be, you know, a 70-win team, but I didn't think they were going to be an 80-win team. So to me, that's not that impactful. 5-0 to me is impactful for what you said, because you've beaten good teams. And although the Yankees went out and got Soto and everybody expected them to be a contender this year, there were still question marks. You know, a lot of the analytic models said that they weren't going to be good. And if they started off the season and came home on Friday against the Blue Jays and they were 2-5, people would be going nuts, people would be getting booed. And the biggest acquisition they had during the offseason is Juan Soto. And what Soto has done is changed the way the team hits. You could see they become a grinded-out team. They take pitches. They work counts. And it's all, I'd say, emanating from him. Every pitch to him is like it was to Paul O'Neill. It's the last pitch of the ninth inning of the seventh game of the World Series. He does not give away at-bats. He does not give away pitches. He had two walks yesterday. Anthony Volpe looks like a different player, Don.
Mm-hmm.
4-for-4. His swing is level. I think he has four swings and misses on over 90 pitches this year. That's unbelievable. There's a guy who struck out constantly last year. So that's significant. Luis Gil, I thought, pitched very well. One out away from qualifying for a win. The Yankee bullpen has been unbelievable. Gave up its first run last night, but one run in five games, and they've pitched a lot of innings. So, yeah, I think the Yankees are more impactful because it's against teams that are good. It's on an opening road trip where they could have really laid an egg. 3-4. They probably would have signed up for 3-4 right to come home on this. And the worst they'll do is 5-2. So I think the Yankees are most impactful. You guys agree, right?
I agree. And also, again, finding ways to win, Michael. Not getting anything from Soto or Judge last night. Still winning. This team is already proven to be crafty through five games.
See, that's a great point you brought up, Peter. They're 5-0 without Judge.
He basically hasn't been there offensively.
Right. He's had three hits, nothing of any substance, and I think he's still in spring training mode because he missed so many at-bats. So they've done it without him. Who else has not really done a
Stanton?
Lot?
Well,
Stanton?
Verdugo, nothing.
Has a home run, but hasn't, you know, really done
anything.
Yeah,
Verdugo's had the big catch, but you know, he's batting 167.
Right, he has not done anything offensively. Defensively he has, but he hasn't done anything right offensively. So,
but when the Volpster's Volpeing like that, what can you do?
And then you don't have DJ LeMahieu.
No.
And you don't know when you're going to have him. So far, so good. I mean, everything has been coming up roses.
Yeah. I mean, you got to, again, it's early in the season. You remember the Yankees back in 98 had the awful start to the season out west, and won 114 regular season games. I mean, it's crazy because you have one bad week and you give it all back. But I just think because it was the Astros the first four, and it's always tough starting out on the road like that, and to be able to do it without Judge, basically, you know, obviously no Cole, no LeMahieu, that could it only get better? You know, Rizzo's batting .222. As we said, Verdugo hasn't really given you a lot outside of his glove. Torres is only batting .200, even with a couple of hits yesterday. So there's, I think this team is going to be just fine. And I think the Mets will be okay too. I know it's panic time because they haven't hit and they've lost the first four games of the season, and it's awful. But you know, you get Martinez. The pitching has been okay. And we'll see if they eventually just start getting into a groove. If this carries on for any longer, I think there'll be panic at the disco. But I as a Met fan, I'm frustrated. It stinks to be 0-4, but I'm not going to completely give up. That'd be silly. There's 158 games left in the season.
Well, here's Francisco Lindor, the Mets shortstop, after the game yesterday. He says, how do you not let this snowball?
We just got to keep the vibes in a very good place. And what, like I said today, it's Everybody's pulling in the same direction. Everybody's working towards the same goal. Today, it felt completely different. Completely different. Hitters meeting was good. And just the preparation was really good. And in the game, we were talking, you know, just bouncing ideas, how bouncing approach. And we put good swings on the baseball today. It just... They didn't fall through, and it, like I said, it just hasn't come down to execution. So how do I gather the troops? Just do exactly what we did today. Just keep their vibes up. Keep the energy prepared. Continue to educate yourself and be ready to play the nine innings.
I will tell you this, going back to what Don said earlier. There are some cliches that are accepted because they're said over and over again. One thing that I've never believed, ever, I'm sorry, never, well, I mean, it's early. You know, it doesn't matter if you start off hot or start... No. You could lose a season, and you could win a season early. The 1984 Tigers started off 35-5. They never looked back, ever. You start off poorly, like the Orioles did, what were they, 0-17, 0-18? The season's over. So these losses count. So you can't let it snowball. You can't look up right. at the Mets and go 1-10, because your season would be over. It would. You can lose and you could win a season in April. Sorry. You could believe it or not. Now, I don't think we're close to that with either team.
Right.
But you can make a statement early.
No, of course you can. But the 35-5, that's a big sample size in the 84 Tigers, Michael. And actually, I think they played 500 the rest of the way, still won the World Series. But you also look at the start the Yankees got off to 2 years ago. And then they almost gave it all back in the second half of the season, but they were able to survive and make the playoffs because of how well they started. But four games is too small a sample size. I agree with you. If they are 10 games under 500 through the first month of the season, yeah, you could bury yourself, but you can have a great week and win four of the next five, and you're going to feel like you stabilize things. I like Lindor's attitude. Now, it didn't show up. I mean, they had like one hit, Michael, through eight innings. I mean, they didn't do anything last night at all. Now, he's the professional. He'll know if the swings were good. Sometimes Boone does this too with the Yankees too. Oh, the swings were good. You went 0-5, but they'll find something positive. I think he's kind of fishing there, but from a leader standpoint, he's trying to look for some positives. Hopefully that'll do it. But listen, the Tigers are 4-0, Michael. You think the Tigers are winning the Central?
They got a chance. They got a chance.
Really?
Yeah, they got a chance.
Well, because
I mean, they're
the
much
Central.
Improved.
To think,
I mean, the only team that they have, I don't think the Guardians are going to be great this year. I think you have to battle the Twins, and the Twins could win that division with 84 wins. So the Tigers have a chance. I'm not saying they'll do it, right. But they have a chance.
But it's early, but it does get late early, as a great catcher once said. And we'll see what they do tonight. Forget tonight. They're not playing tonight. No shot.
Oh, it's raining?
Pouring here. It's been pouring all day. It's like from the couple of Saturdays ago. Really, it's disgusting.
Oh, today's bad, Michael. It's real out here.
Thanks for the confirmation.
We're in the middle of Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. I had a very uncomfortable thing happen this morning.
Oh, no.
So, you know, doing the show on the West Coast is weird because you're leaving the hotel at 10 in the morning.
Sure, yeah.
Because you got to get to the ballpark by noon and... You want to get something to eat because you're not going to eat from what, those, you know, so what? Not exactly big problems. But so I took a shower, got dressed, and I'm walking out into the lobby, you know, of where, you know, the rooms are. And right in front of me, walking out of his room, is Aaron Boone.
Well, the Boonster.
Okay. Right. So again, I was in a hurry, and I see him. He goes, "Hey, what's up, Mike?" I said, "Not much." He goes, "How'd you sleep?" Which was a weird question. I said, okay.
Well, what time was it? What time was it again?
This is like 10:15.
That's not that weird to say, how'd you sleep?
What does he care how I slept?
That's just the thing, people. It's like, good morning. You see, so, you know, you guys are...
Right.
No, but there was a reason. You'll find the reason.
Oh.
So, he's like looking at me like weird, like his head tilted a little bit. And he finally goes, "Hair?" Now, what I had forgotten in my haste was to comb my hair. I look like Jim from Taxi.
Oh, no.
He goes, and then he finally, because he can't like let anything go, he goes, "Dude, what's up with the hair?" I look like a hobo. And I said, "Oh, I forgot to comb my hair." And he started laughing.
If you don't comb your hair,
oh,
it's immediately, it's really bad.
Really bad. See, you don't have to worry about that because you're bald.
I got
to
tell you,
it's kind of an underrated upside. I forgot about like morning hair or like hat head.
Yeah.
I like,
well, you know what I do? I shower too. And then I towel dry the hair. So if I don't put a brush through it or a comb through it, it's going to look like Jim from Taxi.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
And I'm going to write Aaron about it right now, see what he says.
Do you have anything to say about our impactful sit-down a couple of weeks ago?
No. Never mentioned it.
Right. Really?
It won't be the first or the last time I will leave zero impact on someone. I thought maybe he would say, hey, yeah, I saw your buddy the other day. Yeah, I saw Don. Nothing.
No.
Just
sleeping. That's what you got out of him.
You know what, though? Maybe it's more an indicator of how little he cares for Michael.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. Different prism.
It meant a lot for him to hang with you. He doesn't want to share with Michael. He talked to his wife about it.
Ooh.
I saw a great man today. I spent time with a great man. A man named Don LaGreca. A man of the people.
I think Anthony Volpe told his dad about meeting you, too.
So if I were to run into Aaron Boone's wife, and she said that, hey, you know, and Laura were to say, you know, my husband really enjoyed your company the other day. Would it be okay for me to share that on the air?
Of course.
The way you would share the information that Buck gave Pete?
Yes, of course it'd be. We share
I'm asking Peter because he's the one that took exception.
No,
to bringing it
this
up.
This is fine.
Okay. But that won't happen. When would I ever see Laura? And apparently I left no impact on Aaron. It's a good conversation, too.
But what exactly did you expect him to tell me?
Hey, I saw Don the other day.
He knows I see you every day.
I don't know. How does he know that?
We do a show together.
No, but how does he know that I even mentioned to you that I saw you? I don't know. It's just something he could have said.
Yeah, and I'll see him in the clubhouse today. And what did you ever mention about Don?
No, you don't. Now,
did he not leave an impression on you?
Don't go fishing for it. No, that's now you fish.
If you're fishing for it, it's not right.
It had to be organic. It didn't happen, so that's all right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's go to Christian in Carmel. Christian.
Hello,
Christian.
How you doing, Mike, Don, Peter? First time, long time.
Welcome aboard.
I just want to say that this Yankee run, this 5-0 run, is more for the younger fans. I listen to your show every day. With all the old people complaining about who didn't bunt in the second inning, they deserve to watch an 0-162 team. But us younger Yankee fans who didn't live through the glory days, they deserve to watch this.
I love his attitude. Good stuff. I like this.
You know what, Christian? I like your vicious attitude. It does something for me. But all you have to do is get on Twitter, X, whatever, and be part of Yankee Twitter and see how the young fans are patient. They're just as impatient as older fans. Sorry. Older fans might complain about the way the game is played now, but young fans complain about everything. You can't make them happy. You cannot make them happy. They want people, like, if you have a bad inning, they want you released. Don't spend a game on Twitter, on Yankee Twitter, and see how fans react.
Well, that could be a generation of fans complaining, but he was talking about the Yankee fan who is spoiled by all the winning. He's a younger guy that, you know, it doesn't feel spoiled because he hasn't seen a lot of winning, at least championship-wise. There's a lot of older curmudgeons who, you know, they think about those four championships in 5 years and think that should happen every 5 years. A 20-something can't think that. They've only seen one championship in their life. Anthony Pusick's only seen one championship in his life.
Oh, poor Anthony.
Well,
how old were you, Anthony, in 2009?
He's screaming. Oh. So, he was born in 94.
So, he was 15.
I've never complained about the successes that my teams have had.
Well,
I've been very lucky.
Well, you kill me for math.
What just happened there?
94,
yeah.
And it's, yeah. So you're 30.
did you just say 15?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know what? At least I got into ENN.
It's a great point by you.
That's so all
it can
I care
happen,
about.
But I'll say it can happen to anybody, right, Peter?
We've seen
it.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm sure Michael
know who
and
I was
Matt,
talking to about this, Peter? I was talking to DJ Martinez about it.
God, he... Instead of just taking the L.
No, he has to fight right back. That's who he is.
He's got the fangs right out.
Yep. He doesn't mess around.
He's got the claws going. He doesn't bat the bunny around.
No. He He goes right for the kill. Even if he's the one, he's the one who should be taking the L right now.
Right.
No. He felt cornered.
What would you like me to do? Not fight my way out of the corner?
But there are times when it's that egregious. You just say, you know what? Point taken. Let's move on.
You know what? I hear the music. I hear the music played by DJ Martinez, and I'm going to accept the L. That was Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. Their wedding band event is April 4th through the 7th, so that's happening soon. Visit londonjewelers.com for more information. I will take your phone calls when we get back. Ryan Rucco at 4 o'clock. Hey, I talk for a living. And whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea, Bigelow Earl Grey. This delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil is not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring that I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. Yeah, I love you people. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees. London Jewelers is hosting their annual wedding band event from Thursday, April 4th through Sunday, April 7th. All wedding bands are 20% off. Brand exclusions may apply. The 2 by London wedding band collection has something for every style and budget. Come in or call for an appointment at any of their locations. Americana Manhasset, Wheatley Plaza, Glen Cove, East Hampton, Southampton, Westfield World Trade Center, and the Mall at Short Hills, where you can enter for a chance to win an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night honeymoon for two at any Sandals resort. The best deals are at London Jewelers from April 4th through the 7th.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I know Don and Peter don't like this, but sometimes a man has to defend himself. So Don said that Anthony was born in 1994.
Yeah, this is troubling what just happened.
Right, and he said, well, how old was he when the Yankees won their last championship? And I said 15.
Right.
Now,
yeah, you got
I'm
it
getting
right.
ripped for being right.
You were right. I don't know what just happened there.
So how about an apology, Don?
Sorry, why'd you own it?
Because you confused me.
So now we know. We know the trick now to getting Michael to take the L. If you and I both just stone cold act as if he got something wrong, he may just apologize for it.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If that is used as a drop, there's going to be hell to pay.
It was under false pretense.
Well, how could it be used? The only way it could be used as a drop as if it was somehow then funny when we called you out for being right.
But I don't want to make fun of my teammates.
Only reason I found out was when I listened back. I was like, the math is right. That there's nothing there.
Yeah, a 94.
I wasn't even paying attention. I just like you're wrong. And
no,
I didn't. Hook, line, and sinker.
Wow.
You didn't have a Pusick at 15?
I couldn't. I was in Xavier High School. They didn't allow beards.
Right.
I mean, were you able to grow a beard at 15?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, look at that thatch. You kidding me? Of course he could. He was born with that thing.
Now, apparently he was getting some heat from people who thinks that he should remember 2000. Because he was born in 94.
Well, he was 6 years old.
Remembered.
That's correct, man.
That's rough, right? Because I'm trying to think, what year was it when...
It's absurd. It's absurd that he would remember it. It doesn't even make sense.
Right, because there's little flashes, because the unfortunate thing is usually the things that you remember, there's not like a calendar or a clock to tell you exactly what time it was when you remember certain things. But one of my earliest, I do remember New Year's 1974.
Why?
Because I just remember watching it on TV and seeing 1974 light up on the stage. So I guess my parents let me stay up. So were
you watching Guy Lombardo or Dick Clark?
No, it was Dick Clark. We're an ABC family, even back before I started working.
Wow, you've always been that.
You're a Dick family, not a Guy family.
Right. Oh, so I was a month shy of my 6th birthday. But I don't remember the 73 World Series between the Mets and the A's, and I was 5. That was just a few months before. I don't remember that.
First sports memories for me.
I do remember the 75 World Series. That's my first World Series, the Fisk World Series.
So there's a chance I remember the 85 Super Bowl very well, and I was the same age that Anthony was.
So you have no recollection of the Mets-Yankees World Series?
Not much, no. I remember a little bit of the Diamondback series, but, you know, the late games I wasn't really up for.
Hey, your dad probably wanted to watch the games undisturbed and put you to bed. Right? That's probably what happened.
I mean, I still know the Super Bowl shuffle. 85, same thing. If I was performing the Super Bowl shuffle almost nightly, I mean, my parents were basically treating me like it was a Vegas act. They had me perform the thing in front of everybody. If I remember Willie Gault's verse from the Super Bowl shuffle, Anthony, you should at least remember the World Series. And then I remember, I also remember the Doug Flutie game, like the throw, right?
Right.
Like the Hail Mary. But I really only remember that because...
That was 84, right?
That was 84. I only remember that because we had a video that my dad took interviewing me and my brother. And my brother has this hilarious description of describing what happened. My brother, who was not a sports guy, even at 8 years old or whatever.
He just said in my ear, he remembers the Giants-Ravens Super Bowl, which would have been in what? I guess
2000.
February 2001.
January 28, 2001. Maybe my life started in 2001 and I just didn't know that.
Because Michael, the Yankees-Mets World Series, the first pitch was all like 8-10.
Right.
He remembers the Super Bowl because it was played, you know, back, it was gentlemen back then. They probably kicked off your 85 Super Bowl, you know, kicked off at 4. That was when, that natural order of things back then. So your father put you to bed. He's like, I don't need a screaming, bothering kid while I'm watching my Yankees.
My name's Sweetness, and I like to dance. Yeah, you guys don't understand. The Chicago Bears, if you're young out there and you don't even know, do you even know, honestly, Anthony, you know about the Super Bowl shuffle?
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
You do know?
Yeah.
I mean, the Chicago Bears put out a rap song. They produced a 45, a tape cassette. It was a big deal, the Bears rapping.
But why did you perform it like a circus clown for your parents?
I don't know. I mean, they had a couple of good family friends from Chicago, and maybe that was part of it. But also, like, that Bears team was a big deal. Walter Payton was a big deal. I love Jim McMahon.
And
I don't know.
And every
time.
Can
you imagine, Don, the Rosenberg family, they're sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
With their Che Guevara t-shirts.
So they don't have Che Guevara t-shirts. And don't we have video of this? Yes.
and they're all smoking pot, and then they call on their son.
No. They're the big hookah.
Do the Super Bowl shuffle, kid.
No, my parents, no Che Guevara shirts, no pot that I was aware of. Though I will tell you, back in the day when I was that age, let me tell you what, when Ken and Leslie would come over, Mindy would always fire up one of Ken's heaters.
Oh, no, good for her.
Yeah.
Who's now, Ken and Leslie?
Our my brother's godparents, like our closest friends, some of our closest friends.
Now,
are they still around, Ken and Leslie?
Of course they are.
Good for them.
They're still over regularly for brunch. Know Natalie well, yeah.
Every time you tell that story about how you performed it in front of the family, I think of the beginning scene from the movie Raw. When young Murphy's performing and Samuel L. Jackson's the uncle sitting on a galley. It's funny.
By the way,
I got a picture.
It's close to that. And we have me on video doing it in multiple locations. And the look of pride.
Can you get one of the videos from Greek to run it
I
on
I thought
Guess
Greek has it.
Well, if he has it, then we'll see it. Now, what's your earliest memory, Michael?
Oh, boy. Last week, maybe?
Oh, come on. You were born in 61. So what's the first World Series you remember?
You know, the first sporting event that I could really remember, I remember the 73 World Series. I remember the A's winning 3 in a row. But, like, I became a Yankee fan, like, in 70 or 71. Vita Blue stands out in my mind a lot.
But that's 10, Michael.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? I didn't even think about women until I was 17. I'm slow.
But it was because you of really sports. Are. So what were you thinking of before sports?
I don't know. I mean, we only hit 5 channels.
Only 5?
It was all Yankees. That's all I cared about.
So what's the first Yankee memory? Your first game.
Come on, Michael. My first game was Yankees, Washington Senators, and it was ball day at the old stadium, and I still have the ball.
Do you remember the year?
Yeah, 1969, I think.
Yeah, that's 1969 still, you're an 8-year-old boy.
Yeah, prepubescent.
You should have earlier memories than that.
I have earlier than that. I was in.
I'm sorry if I'm disappointing you, Dom.
5 years old, I have memories. I was already trying to kick it to girls in kindergarten.
No, good for you.
I formed a little gang. I got
you
in trouble.
A gang.
Yeah, no, I got in first grade. I had multiple problems in first grade. There was a lot going on. I got in trouble. Started a club and made people pay to join. And someone stole their mom's checkbook. It was problematic.
Oh,
what was happening?
Wow.
Yeah.
Now one of the earliest memories I have as a kid. Like in first grade, me and some kids started the He-Man Woman Haters Club, which is from the Little Rascals.
Sure.
Oh boy.
Now speaking of childhood, I can't recommend this highly enough, everybody. There's a story. Did you read it, Peter? Because I did tweet it out. Don doesn't look at my tweets. There's a story on Iron Eagle.
I missed this.
The Ringer.
Okay.
And a guy, Brian Curtis, wrote it. It is the most amazing story I've ever read about a broadcaster.
Really?
When you see how Iron Eagle became Iron Eagle, it's unbelievable. So both of his parents were performers.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go to the Catskills. And they would bring along little 6-year-old Iron Eagle. And at the end of the show, they would have him come out and do imitations of like Howard Cosell. So he was a performer at like 5 and 6 years old. Now, his father was like a rotund man, and his mother was very skinny.
I think it was Xerox, Michael, right?
Yeah, yeah.
His dad was a monk, like in the commercial, his dad's a monk. Like I think it was about like how silent the printer was or the copier was.
Well, the story behind that is the father was always struggling. He was working Grossingers and in the Catskills, whatever. Then he got his big break with this, you know, playing a monk. And it became such a big break that Xerox used to send him all around the country to their meetings. So he was on the road like 290 days a year. And the mother was a Judy Garland impersonator.
Hmm.
And she was in Vegas. So Iron Eagle, who was like 9 and 10 years old, essentially, when the father hit it big, Iron Eagle was a latchkey kid who raised himself. There was nobody home.
Wow.
There was nobody home. It's amazing. And the mother died, and she called for him. I think he was like 15. He flew out to Vegas, and he was there in the hospital with her alone. It's just a heartbreaking story how he has come through this with this unbelievable humor and incredible talent. And I actually wrote the guy, Brian Curtis, and I wrote Ian. I said, that's a movie. It's an absolute movie. You got to read it, everybody, if you get a chance. The Ringer, Brian Curtis. It's
Brian
a big
Curtis is great.
On Iron Eagle.
Wow,
Brian
that's
Curtis with a Y.
That is that's fascinating.
And if he wasn't so fiercely loyal, we'd have Iron on to talk about it. But
and by the way, and I say this with all due respect, because Noah Eagle is tremendous and going to be great. But isn't it amazing what it is to be born to someone who like all the things that Iron had to go through are part of the fact that Noah was now able to follow in his footsteps. Because Iron did these insane things.
Story though, because despite like being a latchkey kid, Iron idolized his father, and got his humor from his father, and like he always wondered, could I be as funny as my dad? And Noah Eagle is quoted in the story, "Can I be as funny as my dad?" So, like cats in the cradle, that sort of deal.
So Iron's that funny, huh?
He is.
He's hilarious.
Like I think he's great when he is funny on TV. It's just it's subtle when he does
well,
it.
Well, he's like a Monty Python skit. Like he is very dry. The humor's dry, but dark, but very funny.
I've never gotten to talk to the man because of the only flaw that exists in him. His psychotic loyalty to a radio station he has no affiliation with.
And a radio station that is so diametrically different than the one that he holds dear to.
It's honestly
a different place.
It's like MTV.
I love the man.
He was on the MTV that showed video.
Right, and now it's ridiculousness, and you're still holding on.
Yeah, you know, it made my 16-year-old's pregnant show.
I mean, we've gone through different PDs, different ownership, with bankruptcies, and the guy still holds. I think it's just an act that he doesn't want to go.
No, it has to. It has to. He doesn't want to. Because think about it, we're basically coworkers on Yes.
Right.
And we can't get on.
That should
and
be
we
the
love
angle,
him.
Right?
Right. And we're legitimately fanboys of this guy. Like he's maybe my favorite. Like in national broadcaster, favorite.
He should be number one.
Well, I want to tell
CBS.
You this, Peter. If you read the story, and it's too long to read during a commercial break because you're a very slow reader.
What if I go to the bathroom, though? You know I take time.
Well, then you can read it twice, but you'll cry. You might get choked up.
Wow, really?
It's that good. It's that amazing of a story.
I'm sure there'll be more baseball later in the show. You can dive into it then.
I got time.
Hey, you know what? It's game time. It's brought to you by Telemar Dew Irish Whiskey. Hey, the Knicks are in Miami to take on the Heat. With coverage at 7 on 98.7, that's this here place. The Islanders host the Blackhawks with coverage starting at 7 on 1050. Mets and the Tigers, weather permitting, at 7:10, although they're pairing off animals at Citi Field, so doesn't look good. Yankees Diamondbacks at 9:40, that'll be on Yes, and David and I and Meredith, we're going to be all over. It's going to be great. And the Devils welcome in the Penguins at 7. They say to the Penguins, welcome in.
Welcome.
Welcome. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Right now, it's time for Peter to talk about bathroom etiquette.
Oh, well. That's not how I would describe what the read is, but I am here to say about my friends over at Bath Fitter. They remodeled my bath, did an amazing job, customized it for my needs, process easy, one expert installer, done in a day, no demo, no mess, permanent high-quality solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers just like me. For a limited time, get 0% or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. Start designing your bath today like I did at BathFitterDesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter. All right, guys. Peter here for Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Come get some. If you're worried about inflation, Security Dodge is turning back the clock with this deal. Zero down, $199 a month. That's right, inflation buster deal on a brand new 24 Dodge Hornet RT. $199 a month, 24 months, zero down. Go see Michelle Scalisi during their Dodge Power Shot days. And come get some.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Very strange music. What is this from, Jacob?
Oh, boy. Come on, buddy.
Is this
that Beyonce?
Cowboy Carter?
Oh, that's
Cowboy
right. Carter. Oh, instrumental. You found a little instrumental. There we go. For Texas Hold'em.
Now, before we... we get to the calls. Don, I'm just curious, because I've been thinking about this a lot.
Yes.
Have we finished the Streisand book yet?
Yes, we finished it.
Wow. It took over a month.
It took almost three.
Well, you know what, Don? Color me impressed, because it would take me 5 years.
I started it, mid-January. Because I remember I took it with me to Ottawa, and that was January 27th. So say I was maybe January 21st. Yeah, so it took me a good couple of months. It was 1,000 pages.
I'm
usually takes me about 2 weeks. It takes me, honestly, 2 weeks to read any book. And most books average, 300 pages. So it kind of made sense for a book that had 974 that would take 2.5 months.
Listen, can I compliment you and insult you at the same time?
Go ahead. Sounds like the show.
Don't allow Michael to mock you for this, because reading a 1,000-page book in 3 months is amazing. And you already know how I feel, that your ability to read is not proportional to your intelligence. Don't get me wrong, Don's a pretty smart guy, but he's a vociferous reader. I mean, I don't know any, except for my dad, I don't know anyone who pounds books like this. So how dare you, sir?
See, but I've got to chime in here.
Go ahead.
I mean, my kids, they read.
Okay.
I believe that both of them could read a 1,000-page book in quicker than 3 months.
Does Charlie do play-by-play and pre and post for Rangers? Does he do a three-and-a-half-hour radio show? Does he have two kids to raise?
No, and not only that. Hold on. First of all, don't even listen to his nonsense that he's saying. I would love to know what the comprehension would be after 1,000 pages on Barbara Streisand from your kids.
They can break down Dog Man like nobody else.
Okay? I mean, Dog Man's different, but this is minutia you're getting into. I mean, it's not all sex stories with her coworkers. I mean, there's some, I have to imagine, some boring family details as well.
Did James Brolin inadvertently wrote an Aerosmith song? Her husband.
Oh, really?
Because one time they were spooning together, and he said, it's very corny, but I guess it worked. He's like, "Don't fall asleep, I'll miss you." And he repeated that story with Barbara Walters, and Diane Warren was watching it, and then she wrote the song, of course, from
"Don't Want to Close My Eyes,
Don't Want to Fall Asleep, Because I Miss You, Baby,
and I Don't Want to Miss a Thing."
Listen, I take exception. They're waving us off. Believe me, ASCAP has no interest in three people destroying a song, okay?
It's crazy.
No money's being made from that.
Let's go to Dave in the car. Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me in, guys. I had this thought last year, and now after the arrival of Soto, it's really standing out more to me. Soto comes on the scene with the Yankees and has instant impact. Pop. It's just charisma. It's more than just, obviously, his great skills. And I look at the Mets, and I see how they stripped their organization down last year, and they're like, "We're going to kind of take a step back to progress into the future." Wouldn't it be wise then to consider moving on from Lindor, who really has not, he hasn't lived up, in my opinion, any expectation of what you need to live up to as a new player in New York?
One second. He's owed 8 more years at $34 right. million a year. Who's taking him?
That I understand that. If they could unload him, you think it's a possibility that he could be unloaded, that his contract basically, compared to the contracts that are going to start coming out now, meaning next year and the year after, may not carry, the same price tag. You know, at $30 million a year is nothing in the next year.
But Dave, he's the least of their problems. He's a really good player. He's gotten off to a bad start, and sometimes he does that.
Excuse me, sorry.
But he's a good player.
Look, I know it's a long season. I honestly feel like he might just be languishing here, because I don't see the Mets getting good
for 8 years?
In the next 2 to 3 years.
Well,
the next 2 to 3 years.
Are you saying this because they're 0-4?
No, I'm saying it because I saw that, their owner came in, all this money, made all these big moves.
Prime.
It fizzled out. And I feel like a guy like Lindor, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but I just think these next couple years, he's already 30, and I didn't realize he was that old. I just see him languishing here. If they don't have a big offseason next year...
Well, that's the plan. I mean, can we wait and see what next year's offseason is going to be? Because what was told to us
was that they were going to be all in on 2025. Let's see what that looks like. Now, if we fast forward, even a year from now, I think is too soon because, Michael, will only be a handful of games in the 2025. But can we see what this plan ends up looking like before we tap out a year before it's even supposed to happen? Like, what if they get Juan Soto? We're just complimenting what the Yankees got in Soto. There's a possibility he could be a Met next year. It's not a distinct possibility, but it's a possibility. It sounds like they're going to go for him, Michael, right? So you're telling me Juan Soto on the Mets doesn't make them a better team? And we've already concluded that Soto works through five games. I mean, let's see how this all plans out. But can we see the Mets plan executed before we kill it?
And also, I mean, this guy is not their problem. I mean, he's got 8 years left on his contract. You could see him languishing with the Mets. That was one of Steve Cohen's biggest mistakes. They made the trade for Lindor. They gave him a contract they did not have to give him. They were bidding against no one. They should have waited till the end of the year. The best shortstops in baseball don't make $34 million a year. He's overpaid, but you've already done that. Now live with it because he's a good player. He's a good player. Yeah. Steve Cohen made a lot of mistakes at the beginning.
Right, and he is overpaid. But, Michael, in 2023, he had 31 home runs and 98 RBIs. The year before that, 26 home runs, 107 RBIs.
He's a really good player.
He is overpaid, but that doesn't mean he's not a really good player you'd like to have as your shortstop when this team turns the corner.
Absolutely.
Nobody is going to take that contract. He's on this team. Now, can we see what the offseason plan ends up looking like? It is amazing, the overreaction. You look at the Mets right now as presently constituted and say, it's going to be a slow burn. But that's not the case. They're going to spend money in the offseason, Michael, where this team is going to look much different in 2025 than it looks right now. So I wouldn't judge what you think this team is going to be before we see the plan executed in the offseason.
I'm amazed. I mean, I hope that's just like a snapshot and not like a representation of all Met fans. I mean, they're 0-4, so what? The Yankees in 98 were 1-4, and they finished with 114 wins. Now, that team was expected to be good. The Mets aren't expected to be good.
But
the best, they're going to sneak in as a wild card.
Right, and that's your opinion, but let's not forget. You know, we hold Steve. I have been very literal with Steve. Like he said, he never said he was going to tap out on 2024. He said he was going to be all in on 2025. People exaggerated like he was going to take a knee. But he did say that he expects to make the playoffs. So he sees a playoff team. I don't necessarily see that. You don't see it, but we got to hold him to his word, Michael. He said he'd be disappointed if they missed the playoffs. I don't want to hear, you know, the Mets lose 98 games and in here, well, we didn't expect to win. No, you just said before the season started he expected to make the playoffs. So we got to hold him to that.
And also, I warned everybody about the late Boris clients, okay? Signing J.D. Martinez, or D.J. Martinez, when you did, he's going to be out for the first 2 weeks of the season. You could bury yourself by then. Same thing with Jordan Montgomery with the Diamondbacks. He's not going to be ready for another week and a half, 2 weeks. You're paying the money for not playing.
Right.
There should have been a point in time when you said, you know what, I'm not getting involved with these players. It's too late. No matter how much work they do on the side, it's not the same thing as spring training. And they were all paying for it. The Giants are paying for it with Blake Snell, the Diamondbacks with Jordan Montgomery, now the Mets with DJ JD Martinez. If you like me, you love to spend time at home. My home needed a refresh, so I chose the painting professionals at Serta Pro Painters. First, let me tell you that the estimate took no time at all. None. The team scheduled an initial call, consultation, to get the details of my project. They confirmed their appointments, showed up on time, and provided a detailed estimate of the work. I could not have been happier. The Serta Pro promises that you never have to tell your story twice. So from the consultation to the job, the communication with the team was exceptional. Free estimates, reliable communication, professional painting, all at the right price. When you're ready to paint and take projects off of your to-do list, contact Serta Pro Painters. Why wait? From now through April 30th, Serta Pro Painters is running its spring sales event. Special offers are available at participating locations. Each Serta Pro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They are a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at SertaPro.com. That's Serta with a C. I can't recommend them more highly. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.